challenge him to a one-on-one game. He knows it, and I'm waiting for him to come on the ice with me.
When he comes here for the summit with Trump?
Either there, anywhere he wants.
Maybe you can do it on Trump's ice hockey, ice rink in Central Park.
In Woolman Park. That's a really good idea. I'm going to suggest it to him.
Well, I want to thank you all for being with us. That does it for the show. John Alpert, John Novick, and Ben Rosloff. The film is called All for One. You can check it out at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Has a job opening for a broadcast engineer here in New York City. Find out more at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Birkin, Abe Feltz, Carla Wells, and Noreen Sheikh. Laura Gattasino. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5 o'clock and 5 seconds right there. Coming up next is your Friday evening news, but first.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Call Mr. Robeson on Friday, August 10th at 7:30 p.m. at the Community Music Center in Portland. Call Mr. Robeson is a play that portrays African-American actor and singer Paul Robeson's remarkable life, highlighting his pioneering and heroic political activism. Features Old Man River and other famous songs, much fiery oratory, and a defiant testimony to the House Un-American Activities Committee. Again, that's Call Mr. Robeson on Friday, August 10th at 7:30 p.m. at the Community Music Center, 3350 Southeast Francis Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he.
This KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Oregon Symphony, located at 909 Southwest Washington Street in downtown Portland. Presenting Gary Trudeau, political cartoonist and creator of Doonesbury Comics, sharing from his latest book, Sad, Doonesbury in the Time of Trump, Tuesday, October 16th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and more information available by phone at 503-228-1353 or online at orsymphony.org. And guess what, everyone? It's Friday, and it's 5:02, so it means it's time for your KBOO Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, the Oregon Special Olympics has been canceled for the Fall and Winter Games due to suspicious financial issues.
The Unite the Right rally will mark its second anniversary in Washington, D.C. this weekend.
Four are dead after a shooting in Canada. The suspect is in custody.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, August 10th, 2018. I'm Yasmin Kobanoglu.
And I'm Summer Barraza. The Oregon chapter of the Special Olympics has canceled its Fall and Winter Games this year, citing financial difficulties. Volunteers, athletes, and families are devastated and demanding answers on what happened to the funding. Michelle Portman, a local educator, had left $50,000 to Special Olympics Cottage Grove following her death in 2011. The money was expected to last years. However, state organizers recently announced that their financial accounts have gone into a negative balance. On Wednesday, at Opal Park in Cottage Grove, over 30 protesters chanted and held signs demanding the money be returned. Special Olympics Oregon released a statement saying that the new executive leadership has been investigating the issue, arguing that audited financial documents from 2012 to 2016 show that the money was applied as intended. However, local volunteers said that there's no way they spent all the money since annual expenses are on average only $3,000. A separate document from Special Olympics Oregon shows that the account still contained the $50,000 at the end of 2016. KBOO's own Susan Cecil, who has participated in events including snowshoeing, golf, bowling, and basketball since the early 2000s, is shocked and upset that the games have been canceled. She said, quote, "I don't understand where the money is going and why they are taking advantage of us. Special Olympics is a big deal to all of us. Now we can't do bowling, we can't do anything with Special Olympics, and it's really sad and frustrating," end quote. Adding, quote, "It's not just me, it's everyone that's been a part of Special Olympics. I wish we could do something," end quote.
White nationalists will be gathering at Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C. on Sunday to mark the one-year anniversary of the infamous Charlottesville rally, Unite the Right. The second rally is being organized by a well-known white nationalist, Jared Kessler. Originally, Kessler was planning on again holding the rally in Charlottesville, but his request for a permit was denied. Kessler had applied for a permit that would allow up to approximately 400 demonstrators. According to Kessler, he chose D.C. in order to confront the people in power and speak to United States President Donald Trump. Lafayette Square is located in front of the White House, and this year's rally is expected to be smaller, but with tighter security. Local law enforcement say they plan on keeping the nationalists and counter-protesters separate and have banned guns during the rally, even if the person has a concealed carry permit. Additionally, they will not be using city-operated transportation services. Many white nationalists will not be making appearances because of the outcome of the last rally in Charlottesville. However, the presence of these groups is enough to get D.C.'s far-left counter-protesters to retaliate. Anarchist groups, socialist groups, anti-fascist groups, and Black Lives Matter are currently organizing a counter-protest. This includes the Shut It Down D.C. Coalition, which will be using the slogan, "Still Here, Still Strong," as their counter-protest. These groups have obtained permits to protest near the white nationalists and will form a collective at 2 p.m. in Freedom Plaza. They will then make their way over to Lafayette Square. Roads in the area are expected to be closed on Sunday. Similar to last year's rally, neo-Nazis and Ku Klux Klan members are also said to be making an appearance. Around 1,000 counter-protesters will be rallying, likely outnumbering the estimated 400 white nationalists who are expected to march at 5 p.m.
A shooting in Canada this morning has left 4 people dead, with the suspect in custody. The incident occurred at 7 a.m. local time in the Brookside Drive area of Fredericton, New Brunswick, one of Canada's eastern maritime provinces. Witnesses recalled hearing popping noises outside, and law enforcement urged local residents to remain in their homes with doors locked. According to police, the suspect is in custody, being treated for serious injuries, and the crime scene has been contained. Police added that there is, quote, "no further threat to the public," unquote. They added on Twitter, quote, "of the 4 people killed in this morning's shooting on Brookside Drive, 2 were Fredericton police officers. No names are being released at this time. Please appreciate this is a difficult time for their families and our colleagues. We will provide more info when we can," unquote. A spokesperson for Dr. Everett Chalmers Regional Hospital said they are treating multiple victims from the shooting. Mayor Mike O'Brien tweeted from the city of Fredericton's account, quote, "We are shocked and saddened by this morning's tragic events. Not enough can be said about the courageous efforts shown today and every day by members of the Fredericton Police Force, the first responders involved, and those who respond to the call for help. The next few days will be a challenging time for our community as we deal with a loss that will no doubt be felt by many," unquote. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau also released a statement saying, quote, "This morning, first responders rushed to the scene of danger. They did not think twice about what they had to do to keep their fellow Canadians safe. They were unflinching in their duty," unquote. Many details of the incident remain unclear as the investigation is still ongoing.
Climate Connections is a daily piece that aims to show how climate change is already affecting our daily lives and what we can do about it. On today's episode, solar energy, Arkansas, and one man's religious faith.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. 3 years ago, Arkansas resident Terry Tremwell built an ultra-efficient solar-powered home. He was motivated by more than a desire to save on electricity. He was also driven by his Christian faith.
When we burn fossil fuels, when we abuse nature, when we abuse creation, we're working against God's will for the world, which is to have this idyllic garden in which we can commune with God. One tool for restoring that relationship with the ecosystem, with the world, with the cosmos, is to reduce carbon emissions.
Tremwell's large home was designed to be as energy efficient as possible. It's tightly insulated, and south-facing windows allow winter sun to warm the house. And its electricity comes from solar power.
The solar panels on the roof, on a net annual basis, provide enough energy for not only all of the home's operations, but the two electric cars that my wife and I have.
Tremwell says he gives tours and shows off his $0 electricity bills when people visit. Through his example, he hopes to inspire others to protect and restore God's creation.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Current Cast is a daily piece that highlights issues affecting one of our most precious resources, fresh water. On today's episode, aging infrastructure and how it affects our health.
Human waste in water. On this Current Cast. In many parts of Milwaukee, stormwater is shuttled directly to rivers and Lake Michigan. Wastewater is dealt with separately and sent to a treatment plant for processing. But Sandra McClellan of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee says the infrastructure is aging.
Many of the pipes that are taking waste from our homes that should be going to the wastewater treatment plant are leaking, are failing.
She says as a result, waste can leach into the soil. Then when it rains, it can enter the stormwater system and end up in waterways. So McClellan's team has developed new techniques to find the source of the pollution and assess the level of risk, so cities can prioritize repairs. Current Cast is produced in partnership with Cornell University's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
The office of the Lithuanian Gay League was the target of arson this Friday morning, and it is not being investigated as a hate crime. Lithuania has not legalized same-sex marriage and is known as one of the top three worst European countries to live in as an LGBTQ person. The term hate crime is something unfamiliar to Lithuanian law enforcement. Eduardad Platov, the LGL program manager, said, quote, "The police's reluctance to recognize the crime of hatred is proof of its unprofessional nature," unquote. The office is covered with rainbow pride flags and located near a rainbow crosswalk. Today, the entrance of the building was doused with a flammable substance, then lit ablaze by an unknown arsonist. A nearby taxi driver was able to extinguish the fire. Police are investigating the arson as vandalism, whereas the LGL believes that it is a hate crime. Vladimir Simonko, the executive director of the LGL, said, quote, "This incident clearly indicates that hate crimes on the ground of sexual orientation and gender identity remain an important issue in Lithuania," unquote.
LGBTQ groups in Denmark are planning to boycott a pride reception hosted at the U.S. Embassy in order to express their disapproval of the Trump administration's handling of LGBTQ rights. Organizers from Copenhagen Pride and LGBT Denmark will not be attending the reception, which is set to be held in Copenhagen on August 15th. Thomas Rasmussen of Copenhagen Pride said, quote, "It would sound pretty hollow if on one side you criticize the Trump administration for their reluctance to accommodate LGBT people and the rolling back of LGBT-inclusive legislation, and at the same time stand around drinking champagne with the ambassador who represents that administration," unquote. LGBT Denmark spokesperson Peter Holk Svendsen said, quote, "We don't want to rubber stamp the Trump administration's backward-looking rolling back of LGBT rights by our presence," unquote. Thank you.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin at 5:30. At 6, it's Bread and Roses. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tonight's weather? It will be 81 degrees in Portland, 85 degrees in the Dalles, and 83 degrees in Hood River. Today in history? In 1776, London learned about America's draft of the Declaration of Independence. The quote of the day is from American journalist, humorist, and New York Times columnist Helen Rowland, quote, "You will never win if you never begin."
Black History 365 celebrates Black achievements and honors Black history for every day of the year. On today's episode, we go back to the year 1963.
Black history is happening every day. It's time to start thinking of it outside of a day or a week or a month. We hope to inspire you by enlightening you with those people and events that should be learned from and forever remembered.
Today is August 9th. On this day in 1963, multi-talented superstar, singer, actress, model, and producer Whitney Houston was born. Recognized as one of pop music's best-selling artists of all time with an estimated 200 million records sold worldwide, Houston released 7 studio albums and 2 soundtrack albums. She is the only artist to have 7 consecutive Billboard Hot 100 songs.
Achievements and events are not confined to the past. Make sure to etch your own path in the pantheon of human history. This has been Black History Month 365. BAM 365, where you find every day Black history is made.
Imagine calling the police in order to apprehend a baby squirrel. That is exactly what happened to a German man when he could not escape the young rodent. On Thursday, an unnamed man desperately called German law enforcement asking for assistance as he was being chased down the street by an obsessive baby squirrel. Police arrived in a patrol car to find the squirrel still chasing the man. After a long chase, the squirrel was exhausted and lay down to take a nap. According to the police write-up, the small animal may have fallen asleep out of fear. There is speculation that the baby squirrel was missing its mother. Officers took the squirrel into custody, nicknaming it Carl Friedrich. It has since become the station's mascot. Officers then turned the baby squirrel over to an animal rescue organization, where he is reportedly doing better.
An Oregon woman is suing her insurance company after they refused to cover the cost of cleaning and replacing her personal items when a skunk sprayed her property. On September 12th of last year, a skunk crept in Catherine Schaefer's home in Grants Pass and sprayed her belongings as well as her dog. Safeco, Schaefer's insurance company, has given her $2,000 for the damages, although she alleges that the odor ruined more than $112,000 worth of her possessions. She is also asking for an additional $38,000 for other costs, including cleaning and living expenses, arguing that her home was uninhabitable after the incident. Schaefer even offered to send the insurance adjusters the comforter off her bed so they could smell it for themselves. The insurance company declined the offer. Her lawyer, Scott Taylor, is arguing that the special personal property rider on her homeowner policy should cover the damages. Safeco Insurance has not commented due to the pending litigation against the company.
And now, it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture. On today's episode, a bill that provides funding for key Indian country services is closer to approval than it ever has been in the past 9 years. The devastating fires in California might offer inadvertent help for fish. And an exhibition at Disney World's resort honors Native artists.
This is National Native News. I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonio Gonzalez. A surprising bipartisan momentum is behind a congressional funding bill that stands the best chance in almost a decade of getting passed. Elected officials on both sides of the aisle also say the Interior Appropriations Bill makes significant gains for provisions important to Indian country. Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski said the bill provides substantial funding for critical health and education infrastructure.
We do right by Indian country within this bill. Both the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the Indian Health Service, we have restored the cuts that were proposed of over $1 billion in critical program funding. The bill increases funding for IHS facilities program for construction, maintenance, and sanitation facilities improvements. We hear time after time after time in Indian Affairs as well as in the Appropriations Committee about the dire situation with so many of our facilities.
Murkowski also said the bill provides the full estimated contract support costs for Indian Health Service. The legislation passed both the House and Senate and is now in conference committee, a step that has not occurred since 2009. On the Democratic side, New Mexico Senator Tom Udall says the bill goes a long way toward fulfilling the U.S. government's trust and treaty responsibilities. But he also warns that the House version of the bill contains what he calls poison pill provisions that will doom final approval if they make it through the conference committee. Among those are language removing the gray wolf from the endangered species list and exempting the livestock industry from greenhouse gas restrictions. No Democrat voted for the House version. The devastating car fire in California may have an unintended benefit for river fish in Oregon. Hoopa Valley Tribal Fisheries Director Mike Orcutt tells the Eureka Times Standard that emergency operations are prompting officials to release more water than usual from dams upstream on the Klamath and Trinity Rivers. He says water flows from the Lewiston Dam are more than double what they normally are this time of year, which is helping spring run fish to move more readily. Karuk Tribe Natural Resources Policy Advocate Craig Tucker agreed with Orcutt's assessment but says conditions further upstream, including low flows, trapped nutrients from the dam, and climate change are causing significant algae blooms. The Tulalip Tribes in Washington State is opening a retail recreational cannabis store. The state-of-the-art Remedy Tulalip facility is on reservation land along busy Interstate 5 north of Seattle. The Everett Herald newspaper reports the store intends to tap tribal cannabis sources for their inventory. Business representatives say they plan to employ 70 people and have been recruiting workers for several months. An art exhibit is now on display at Disney World Resort in Florida and features Native artists. Sol Traverso reports.
Creating Tradition, Innovation, and Change in American Indian Art is the title of the new exhibit at the American Heritage Gallery at the Epcot Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida. The exhibit will have three featured artists, such as fashion designer Lauren Aragon. He says there is similarity between his work and the theme of the exhibit.
And basically that's what my work showcases, is that I'm reaching back into the past to be inspired by our traditions, our culture, and utilizing that to project it onto a new medium, a new art medium, which is fashion.
Other artists include Ingalik Athabaskan dollmaker Glenda McKay and Assiniboine Sioux dollmaker Juanita Groenthunder. The official Disney Parks blog says the exhibit is made possible through the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the Smithsonian's National Museum of American Indian in Washington, D.C. For National Native News, I'm Sol Traverso.
A correction to a story we aired Thursday. The Google Doodle of Mary Ross was designed by the company's artists and not by Aragon Starr. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by AARP. At AARP, we create and connect you to unique tools and programs to help you save money and tackle the issues that matter most to you, your family, and your community. What we do might surprise you. More at AARP.org. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
An Oregon man started a brush fire in West Lynn yesterday after attempting to set a wasp's nest on fire. He wanted to, quote, eradicate, unquote, a yellow jacket nest using a mixture of oil and gasoline. Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue crews were called to the area just before noon when locals spotted smoke coming up from a field on Southwest Schaefer Road. By the time the firefighters arrived, the blaze had grown to more than 3 acres. The fire and rescue crews were able to extinguish the fire while also dealing with the angered wasps. The man said he mixed the oil and gas in order to burn the nest, but shortly after lighting, the wind caught and spread the flames. He attempted to extinguish it, but wasn't able to contain the fire that grew to almost 4 acres. Tualatin Valley Fire Marshal Steve Forster said, quote, "Because of the nature of our work, we uniquely understand the incredible speed at which fire can spread, but I believe most people are unaware of the potential destruction fire can cause. When dry vegetation, low humidity, and hot temperatures are added to the mix, we have conditions for extreme fire behavior. This can cause a small spark to become a big problem," unquote.
In a leaked audio recording, California Republican and House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes suggested that his party needs to maintain control of the House of Representatives in order to protect the president from special counsel Robert Mueller. Nunes said, quote, "If Sessions won't unrecuse and Mueller won't clear the president, we're the only ones, which is really the danger. We have to keep all these seats. We have to keep the majority," unquote. The recording is from a private fundraiser held last week for GOP member Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers. A spokesperson for Nunes, Jack Langer, said, quote, "It's surprising to see the left-wing media spin Chairman Nunes's routine observations as some nefarious plot, since these same media outlets spent the last year and a half touting non-existent Russia collusion conspiracy," unquote. Nunes is the head of the House Intelligence Committee, which conducted a year-long investigation into Russian election interference. The Republicans on the committee released a report stating they found no evidence of collusion between Trump and Russia. However, Democrats argue that they did not interview witnesses and subpoena certain documents in the probe in order to protect Trump. Democrats on the committee have vowed to continue their own investigation. On the recording, Nunes also spoke about the possibility of impeaching Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. However, he argued that this could interfere with Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation process for the Supreme Court. Nunes said, quote, "If we actually vote to impeach, what that does is that triggers the Senate to take it up. The Senate would have to drop everything they're doing and start with impeachment on Rosenstein, and then take the risk of not getting Kavanaugh confirmed. So it's not a matter that any of us like Rosenstein, it's a matter of timing," unquote. Nunes's statements indicate that congressional Republicans may hope to impeach Rosenstein following Kavanaugh's confirmation and the November midterm elections.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Summer Barraza, Yasmin Kobanoglu, and Emmett White. Our engineer is Jenna Yokoyama. The producer of tonight's show is Yasmin Kobanoglu. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelos Marchand. A podcast of this newscast is available at our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Summer Barraza.
And I'm Yasmin Kobanoglu. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next at 5:30 is Counterspin, because it's Friday, 5:30. That's what's going to be coming on up. Before that happens, have you ever thought about becoming a member of KBOO? Maybe you are a member of KBOO, or maybe you've just been listening to, like, today seems like a good day, because Friday at 5:29 is the perfect time to do that. And so, if you want to show your support for KBOO in its 50th year here, go on to kboo.fm. And hit that red donate button up there at the top of the screen. Thank you for your support. This is your community-supported radio station.
That's right. And don't forget what's coming up next, Counterspin. Time is 5:30, which means that it's time for what I promised you there. It's time for Counterspin.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, when the New York Times wants to write about the plights and travails of low-wage workers, they can tug a heartstring with the best of them. When it comes to reporting about the economy, serious, fact-based stuff, not human interest, we get things like the piece the paper ran in late July, with the lead on how analysts expect the strong economy and Trump administration's tax cuts to lead to another batch of knockout earnings reports. One blot on the landscape, wage growth. Quote, rising labor costs.